Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State writer, and you are listening to Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. And we're going to talk State and Ole Miss football in the next half hour or so, maybe more if we get on a roll. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good, Parrish. Don't know how much I'll know more about football this week than I did last week because I haven't laid eyes on the team practicing. But, you know, I've talked to some players and coaches, and I'll try to fill in the gaps where I can. But, you know, it really hurts your coverage when you actually don't see and you really don't know what's going on this time of year.
Well, we'll do the best we can. And like I said, where we can't give you the facts, we'll just speculate. That's kind of what camp coverage is about these days anyway. So that's what we'll do. And folks, before we move on, want to remind you about some other podcasts you need to look for, productions of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi. That's with Brad Locke and Derek Russell every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, three times a week. And also Prep Rally, all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. And also a recent addition to the Journal family, Blake Morgan, who you will see covering your favorite high schools in Northeast Mississippi. And Brad and I are taking care of your favorite colleges, so let's talk about State and Ole Miss a little bit right now. Brad's like on all these podcasts, isn't he, Logan?
Yeah, so, I was wondering if you were just having a flashback to when Brad Locke was on the Mississippi State beat.
Yeah, Brad was once the Mississippi State beat writer, but we're going to fast forward now to 2016. And while I know you haven't seen a lot of camp, the Bulldogs have been at it for a little longer than Ole Miss has. Tell me a little bit about the quarterback race. What do you know about it? I know it started with four people. Is it still that way?
As far as I know, we haven't talked to Coach Mullen in several days, so I haven't gotten his opinion. Haven't talked to Brian Johnson, Mississippi State's quarterbacks coach, in several days too. I know that Thursday night they're having their first scrimmage, and I know that will go a long way as to, you know, I guess eliminating some of the people maybe from that race, you know, just depending on how they do in the stadium atmosphere and in a live atmosphere. Kind of maybe that could help out decide who wins that battle or narrow that thing down a little bit from four people. But right now, Mississippi State they're in training camp mode, and that's actually different than their normal fall practices. What they do, and they've done it ever since Dan Mullen's been the head coach here. Mississippi State has a field on the outskirts of campus over there by the veterinarian school, and it's actually surrounded by cow pastures and stuff, and it's way secluded on the edge of campus called South Farm, and that's kind of where Mississippi State goes to get into that training camp mode. The team checks into a hotel. They stay together. The coaches drive them to and from practice in these big – rental 15 passenger rental vans to and from the hotel and to and from the football building. So they're spending a lot of time together. They eat all their meals together. I mean, it's kind of a team bonding thing as much as it is a time to get ready for football season. So they're building some of that team camaraderie while in the mix of getting ready for the season. So, you know, but as far as the quarterback race, I mean, I'm expecting that to go on and be decided probably in week two. I mean, I think if all four guys are still at Mississippi State for the season opener against South Alabama, I think all four of those guys will play and have an opportunity in that ball game. But, I imagine in week two, once they get into SEC play against South Carolina, things will probably start narrowing down, and they really want to have a starter decided, you know, by that second game.
I could see that. That's a lot of guys to play in an opener, Logan. I mean, I know you want to have that thing settled by the SEC opener, South Carolina, in week two. But do you think is there the chance that it whittles down just a little bit? It's a lot of guys to get reps in game action when you're talking about four. I watched Ole Miss try to do it with three It's hard for guys to get in a rhythm.
Right. And it's one of those situations where Dan Mullen, I mean, if he could decide the starter today, he would. I mean, but that's how close the race is. And it's not that, you know, the four choices are shabby by any means. I mean, they're all quality quarterbacks. And, you know, he mentioned that he wouldn't be surprised if somebody transfers if they don't win the job. You know, so that tells me that he would like to have it narrowed down to at least two guys before that opening week to give those other guys an opportunity to transfer elsewhere. And those guys that transfer elsewhere will be successful. It's not like that, you know, Mississippi State's cutting them because they're bad players. So, you know, it's one of those situations we'll have to see if somebody does transfer. You know, it wouldn't really surprise me if they do, because all of them still have plenty of years of eligibility left that they can still transfer and still have a nice career elsewhere. So we'll just have to see kind of how this thing plays out. But right now there's still four people battling it out, and maybe, you know, we're supposed to talk to Dan Mullen following the scrimmage. We're supposed to talk to him on Friday. So maybe we'll have a better idea of maybe some quarterbacks that stood out in that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's certainly not a quarterback controversy at or competition for the starting job at Ole Miss right now. And I'd like to say, before we get into a little Ole Miss talk here, I was critical on the blog earlier this week about access and the ability to interview players with the camp schedule that Ole Miss had released. And it really was a serious reduction from the camp schedule that they had for player interviews in 2015. But, you know, after that blog post, Kyle Campbell, media relations director at Ole Miss, has come through, and they've revamped the schedule. And so there will be a few more interview opportunities in camp, and that's a good thing, Logan, because, as you know, if you go several days in camp without hearing from anyone, that's like an eternity. I mean, so much happens in that window of time, whether it's you know, injuries, minor or major, whether it's moving up and down the depth chart. So much happens in a 2 or 3 day window during camp. So it was good today on Thursday to hear from Hugh Freeze and a few players after practice. Those were not availabilities that were scheduled originally when the camp schedule was set, but they were added in, and we appreciate that. And we did see a lot of practice today, Logan. We saw 11 periods. Now, understand, even in the periods that are open, and it would be the same at Mississippi State, whether that's bowl practice or the first day or whenever they do open it up, Logan, I know that they're very strategic in how they open practice. So it's not like we're seeing 11 on 11. We're not seeing that level of competition. But we did watch a lot of the Ole Miss workout today, and there were several things that stood out. One, while there's not a quarterback competition, there's some competition going on at cornerback. And the secondary was kind of feast or famine for Ole Miss last year. They were second in the SEC in interceptions with 15, but they were next to last in passing yards allowed per game at almost 260 a game given up. So they've got a little competition going there at cornerback. Got two starters returning in Tony Bridges and Kendarius Webster. But, you know, again, when you look at the big plays allowed last year, you know, there's room for improvement. And I wouldn't think that those are the most secure jobs on the team. But the real competition at cornerback right now is behind those two, because, you know, they do have a ton of experience, a lot of games under their belt, a lot more experience than the guys behind them. Even though Kalo Moore and Carlos Davis are seniors who have been around, not a lot of game action at cornerback for those two. They're in the mix, and so are redshirt freshman Jalen Julius and true freshman Jalen Jones. And those six guys, according to Hugh Freeze, are the guys who are getting the most reps at cornerback right now. And, of course, that's Bridges and Webster as the starters, and then the other four filling in behind them. Interesting that we did not hear him call Cam Ordway's name, a sophomore. He got some action last year. So he's still there. He's still at practice. But they know right now they're focusing the reps on these other four guys behind Bridges and Webster. So it will be interesting to see how that position plays out in the days ahead. They like these young guys. Jalen Jones, 5'11", 170-ish, was evaluated by recruiting services as a safety and a cornerback. Well, they've identified him as a cornerback at Ole Miss. Jalen Julius, mostly a three-star recruit. I think ESPN had him with a fourth star in the class of 2015. He was a true freshman last year. So he sat out. He's a redshirt. He's a guy that's going to help him in special teams as well. He has a chance to win that punt returner job. But, you know, he's turned some heads at cornerback as well. And you know, he was a guy coming in who could have played offense, but, you know, they've put him on defense. And, you know, we'll see what kind of camp these young guys have, whether they get on the field and make an impact in a playing rotation at cornerback. Speaking of Julius and the punt returner job, Logan, that's been a job at Ole Miss the last several years where it's been considered a success if you just don't fumble, you know, don't turn it over, catch the ball. But we just haven't seen, you know, that position make a play. You know, we haven't seen anybody really break one. You know, that's been a struggle. So if Jalen Julius wins that job and can be a guy who not only secures the ball but also turns in a big play on special teams, well, that would be a big lift from where Ole Miss has been at that position. So anyway, like I said, we did get to see some Ole Miss camp today and lots of competition going on there at cornerback. Middle linebacker, this is a spot, Logan, where they really helped themselves after signing day. A couple of transfers coming in, Romel Magueo, and I'm going to butcher that name all year long. I'll always spell it correctly, but I'm not sure I'll ever pronounce it correctly. He's the grad transfer from Oregon State, and it looks like right now, at least from what we saw in the viewing periods, that he was running, was getting some first team reps there. And behind him was Tamario Strong, who's been in the program a while. And then also the other transfer who came in after signing day, a JUCO kid, Dietrich Bing Dukes, once a Georgia signee, left in search of playing time, and now he is at Ole Miss. He was getting some second and third team reps there as well. Those are some guys to keep an eye on, Magueo and Bing Dukes, because the Rebels really were weak at that position. And just having those bodies there, more competition there, they could end up being pretty good at that. If and I thought this was interesting, Logan, because, you know, we know that Magueo is coming from Oregon State, another Power 5 conference, a Pac-12 school where he led the team in tackles. But Freeze told us that he thought Magueo needed to get used to the speed of the game. That's not something you usually hear about a senior. This guy's a grad transfer. I usually hear that for the freshmen, that they're trying to get used to the speed of the game. So I thought that might have been indicative of maybe a faster game on defense in the SEC than Freeze thinks Magueo is used to seeing in the Pac-12. So anyway, you know, the Rebels trying to get some things done on defense. This might be a team that outscores people a lot. We'll see.
Yeah, it sounds like Hugh Freeze is kind of going into the Andy Kennedy recruiting playbook, getting all those grad transfers in there. That's definitely a different style of recruiting. To say, you know, that's not something Mississippi State's done a whole lot of. I can only think of one guy, Brandon May, who was a linebacker that transferred in from Clemson. I think that's really the only one I can think of under Dan Mullen's tenure there.
Well, so. and what kind of what kind of impact did he make?
Not much. He was kind of a backup. He was sort of a reserve.
Well, Ole Miss had a reserve tight end last year that didn't get on the field a whole lot. Played a little bit, but this was really a position of need. I don't think that's the number one option on the playbook for Freeze. You know, he was going after that Mike Juarez, the West Coast linebacker, the high school kid that ended up signing with UCLA, you know, a big name that he did not get in the 2016 class. And Magueo was available to really fill a need that they did not hit well in recruiting in 2016. They picked up a lot of talent, a lot of positions, but linebacker was not one of those. So it'll be interesting to see if this transfer pans out, because he comes highly experienced from Oregon State, has played a lot of football, made a lot of big plays for that team. You know, and you talk about these basketball grad transfers that Andy Kennedy has had, that kind of the common denominator that we've seen with them has been that even while they are experienced players and have played a lot of football or basketball, if you will, at other places, those guys coming in still required a period of acclimation, still had to get used to new surroundings, and Ole Miss doesn't really have time for that with the schedule that it has to open the season with Florida State, Alabama, and Georgia in three of its first four games.
Yeah, and speaking of basketball players, Mississippi State's actually been over in Italy most of this week and actually left late last week, and they're going to play four games over there. They've already played three of those and won all three of those. And what's been surprising is just how well those true freshmen that Ben Howland signed have played. I mean, especially a Starkville guy in Tyson Carter. And I'm sure you're probably aware of his dad, Greg Carter. You know, he played at Mississippi State, been a longtime coach at Mississippi State and at Starkville High School. And he's really sparked Mississippi State, especially he's helped out some because IJ Reddy is over there, Mississippi State's point guard, and has actually been ill for most of those games. So, you know, him and Lamar Peters have kind of filled in at some of those guard spots. And then Quindary Weatherspoon, who kind of carried Mississippi State's scoring load late in the season last year, has just been lights out in those three games so far. They play their final game on Friday, and they'll return back here. But so far, that trip has been a success. You know, those newcomers have really seemed like they've started to gel a little bit. You know, the ones that are over there, they're still waiting on a couple of guys to get cleared before, you know, they'll have their full allotment of players. But, you know, right now the ones that are over there are contributing and getting a lot of playing time. So I think this is really helping that team sort of gel together some and getting a few extra practices in, a few scrimmage games in to kind of work out some of the kinks early on before they actually start preseason practice. You know, with a young team like this, can only help Mississippi State's chances going into the next season. I know we're not really exactly in basketball season, but it is some news to kind of pass along.
Well, we hear coaches all the time talk about the importance, the added benefit of building chemistry when you can take a basketball team on one of those summer overseas trips. And, you know, and obviously State's doing some good things on that trip right now. Anybody, and again, we remind you that we're not seeing a lot of practice, but when you talk to football players, Logan, are you hearing anything interesting, anything standing out, any surprises that you can pick up from the MSU camp?
Well, nothing. I mean, that's one of the things. They're not really huge name droppers, you know, anybody. So they're kind of playing everything.
They've been coached.
Right. Everything's kind of close to the vest. I mean, you see a lot of – you hear a lot of good things and actually saw a lot of good things out of some of those redshirt freshman wide receivers back during the spring, and have continued to hear that as fall camp has went along. You know, Keith Mixon, Jonas Spivey. Some of those guys have really, really had good, solid springs and really going to contribute at that wide receiver spot to add a little bit of depth there. And that's a spot that they need to. I mean, they lost Ronnie Wilson. They lost Joe Morrow. They lost Fred Brown. So, you know, they've lost most of their starters there. You know, you've got guys like Gabe Miles and Donald Gray who have some experience that can kind of fill in and become those new starters, but you got to develop depth behind there. So, you know, it's encouraging for Mississippi State's offense to be able to have the number of wide receivers that they do. The problem is that they've got to do the same thing at tight end. They lost all of their tight ends. Justin Johnson is their most experienced tight end, and he played last year as a true freshman, and he was their third team guy. So number one, he's going to go into the fall as the starter and the most experienced guy, and he's just in his second year in the program. So, you know, it's a spot where you don't have a whole lot of experience at your skill positions on, you know, receiver and tight end. And that's not a good sign for, you know, a team that's breaking in a new quarterback. So, you know, but you do have a steady guy out there in Fred Ross, who led the SEC in receptions last year, actually set a new school record for receptions. He had 88 catches for 1,007 yards, I think 5 touchdowns. So, and he's coming off of a groin surgery. One of the interesting things that I did learn this week was he played with that groin injury most of last season. He just kind of gutted through it and then had surgery back in the spring. But, you know, for the season that he had a year ago, and then you find out he was doing it at less than 100%, was pretty remarkable. So if he's got that thing fixed, then, you know, he could have a special year again this year. But, you know, they really need to get that running game going. That's something that really never happened for Mississippi State a year ago. Have six running backs, six scholarship running backs that they're trying to figure out the right mix of guys back there. And, yeah, Ashton Shumpert really just didn't get the job done as the starter early on last season. They switched over and started Brendan Holloway the last half of the year. But at the end of the day, Brendan Holloway is about 5'7", and maybe a 165. So, you know, he's don't really know how many carries he can take and all the wear and tear that he's going to face within an SEC season. They need some of those other running backs to kind of help shoulder the load and get that ground game going to take some pressure off of what will be a young quarterback.
All right, so we know Fred Ross is back, and we know what he did last year. Lots of new names, Logan, and as you talk about Shumpert there, some old names that really didn't get a lot accomplished last year. As you look across the totality of the Mississippi State offense, who do you think are playmakers beyond Fred Ross? I mean, who do you think emerges as guys they can count on?
Well, I think Donald Gray is going to be a big-time threat for them. You saw flashes of that last year. He's a guy that transferred in as a junior college player a year ago. And you like we talked about earlier, Parrish, you know, you've got that little bit of transition period. And I think that's kind of what he went through last year. The good thing is Donald Gray transferred in as a sophomore. So he played as a sophomore at Mississippi State last year. So he's going into his junior year now. He's going to take over a starting position. He's actually going to take over that outside spot where Bear Wilson was. I mean, Bear Wilson was 6'5". Donald Gray is about 5'10". So it's going to be a different style of threat out there on the outside. So he's going to be a burner. He's probably got the best hands on the team. You saw him make a lot of spectacular-type catches. And then Gabe Miles is probably going to be the inside guy in that slot spot. And, you know, we've seen him make plays in sporadic times throughout his first couple of years. He's a junior now, so he's got a lot of game experience under his belt. We'll have to see how he does as a full-time starter. But another guy that I'm really excited to see is Jordan Thomas. He's actually a junior college transfer tight end from Mississippi State. Just an enormous, enormous guy. I can't even describe how big this fella is to you, Parrish. I mean, he is – they've got him listed at 6'5", 295. I mean, he is a huge guy, but the crazy thing is, even at that size, they talk about him like he's a wide receiver. I mean, it's not just like they've got him down there to block with his size. I mean, he's the size of an offensive lineman, but they say he's got the skills of a wide receiver. So I'm really interested to see. I really haven't seen a whole lot of him. You know, he's just now getting here. It's not like he was here in the spring. I mean, he just now arrived on campus, but if he can grasp the offense and if he's as good as advertised, Mississippi State could have a special player in him.
Well, if he has that kind of skill set, it would be really fun to watch him in the open field. Okay, you know, the other guy's trying to tackle a guy with that mass. A couple of positions to look at for Ole Miss right now. A lot of eyes on left tackle. Laramie Tunsil is gone, trying to replace an elite player there. They went into this camp with Jeremy Liggins, the much-traveled, been used at several positions, Jeremy Liggins, he was number one at left tackle. Well, Jeremy Liggins is suspended indefinitely for team rules violation. You know, Logan, I always ask him, can we please get a list of the team rules?
Right.
You know, so could you show us what those rules are? All right, Liggins is still out. It may be near the end of camp before he returns, Hugh Freeze told us today. That's huge. I mean, this is a new position for Liggins. You're the, quote, starter going into camp, and you're trying to learn this position, and you miss most of camp. I can't imagine that he would hold that job. So who gets that starting left tackle spot? Right now, running with the ones mostly is Alex Givens, redshirt freshman. You know, they like him. He's a hard worker, but he was not that elite talent during recruiting. He's a guy that can develop. That elite talent right now is running third team, and that is Greg Little, a five-star lineman out of Allen, Texas. And I know a lot of Ole Miss fans are thinking that he's going to immediately rocket up the depth chart. Well, he may move up the chart, you know, later in camp. He may move up the chart early in the season. But you'll remember, Ole Miss fans, Laramie Tunsil did not start until the third game of his freshman year. It's very difficult to start right away on the offensive line, particularly at that left tackle position. Right now, that spot is looking Alex Givens, number one. Rod Taylor, who has spent most of his career on the offensive line interior at a guard spot, Rod Taylor is number two. They like his athleticism and footwork, if not his maturity. Still some things to work on there, but he is number two right now. And then Greg Little, the freshman, at number three. So that's a position to watch, and a very important one for Chad Kelly. I made this comparison earlier in the week, Logan. The last time Ole Miss was replacing a first-round draft pick at left tackle was when Michael Orr went to the NFL after his senior year in 2008. So they made that transition in 2009. Jevin Snead went from 26 touchdowns and 13 interceptions to 20 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. Now, all of that was not the fault of the left tackle, which at that time was Bradley Sowell, who grew into that position and became a pretty good player. Jevin Snead had some other issues going on back in 2009, but that season began with him having some trust issues in his protection. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal for Chad Kelly how that position plays out. Let's look at the wide receivers a little bit. I thought this was an interesting comment from Kelly earlier in the week, Logan. We know that DK Metcalf from Oxford and A.J. Brown from Starkville, the freshman, both among the most highly rated receivers in the country last year by the recruiting services, both big and physical, both with the ability to play early. But there's a lot of experience for Ole Miss back at wide receiver, even though they're losing Laquon Treadwell and Cody Core. Lots of experience there, and so you wonder where these freshmen are going to fit. Well, I thought Chad Kelly put a lot of pressure on A.J. Brown earlier this week when he called him Laquon Treadwell 2.0, and it's like your next Apple operating system, man, just throw out another version. I think that's kind of hard to do. Laquon Treadwell was an extremely gifted player. I think he's the guy who grandfathers one day tell their grandchildren, well, when I was in school, Laquon Treadwell was the wide receiver, and I saw him play. I mean, he's that kind of player. But they do have some very talented freshmen, and I like the experience level. I like the talent level. I think they have a lot of threats at wide receiver. Keep an eye on that position, and we'll see where those freshmen fit in. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage. Want to remind you about those other Daily Journal podcasts to look for. Check out The Memo 3 days a week with Brad Locke and Derek Russell every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Prep Rally every Wednesday during the regular season with Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. And Logan and I will be with you most Thursdays. Sometimes early, sometimes late, sometimes on a Friday. Kind of depends on how the schedules are playing out. But you can check out Double Coverage with us every week, and we will fill you up on Ole Miss and Mississippi State. We thank you for being with us today, folks. For Logan Lowry, this is Parrish Alford, and we hope you will come back and join us next week.